Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with your politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Okay, we're not using our laptop this morning because I got to get a new, I got to get a new laptop. I'm on a tablet, but the tablet is not responding the way I wanted to do it, so let's try another method here. Today's podcast is titled "It's Just Plywood," and no matter what type of home you live in—a mansion, a tiny house, a barn, a she shack, a backyard studio, a guest house—it's just plywood. All these terms that we have is just marketing. A doghouse, marketing, guest house, market. It's all plywood. A mansion, a mini mansion. It's all plywood. So we're going to talk about that because any type of structure you see, it's just plywood. The only difference is the marketing terms that we put on it that drive up the value.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005, and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died, and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years, signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I've signed and I've stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see $100,000, $600,000
deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." "Oh, man." He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it." So he said, "Man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison." Mm-hmm. And I said, "What are we going to do?" So he said, "Hold on, man. Let me get some lawyers." So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, "Man, we got a major problem." He said, "I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year." We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, "Man, well, this is an old tax return." He said, "Man, we got a problem." He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you're going to jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was, my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, "Nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses." And I heard a guy on the phone say, "What are we going to do when he goes to jail?" And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, "Marjorie, Dawson, I said, Marjorie, we got a problem." When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, "Steve, what you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to go to work." I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes. I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
You guys to pay attention to, it's related to the same thing, Black Lives Matter, and how can we get the athletes to pivot or understand the mistake of embracing Black Lives Matter. I think a lot of people want to boycott sports. A lot of people are disappointed that I'm watching a lot of this NBA basketball. Look, I love it, man. The first sport I was a fan of was basketball and the Indiana Pacers. Went to ABA basketball games. I'm not going to give up on basketball. I'm not going to give up on athletes. I don't give up on people. And so I don't think a boycott is the right approach. You got to take the long, holistic approach of trying to educate these athletes to what Black Lives Matter really represents and what's being done under the umbrella of Black Lives Matter. And so I started something that we're going to try to put out daily or 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 times a week on OutKick. I'm going to try to capture some of the stuff on social media that's been captured showing what the act.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me. Show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors with these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings. All of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package gonna go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So, if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week. 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left, And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, today's podcast, we're doing an abbreviated one. We started late, and I'll give an update why. We'll give a bit of news for 2025, and then we're going to go into It's Just Plywood. It's Just Plywood, which is the title of today's podcast. When I went to upload, because we had another podcast scheduled for today, which we'll play that, we'll do that one tomorrow. But and that one's dealing with what do you do when you need money. So that's tomorrow's podcast. But it was supposed to be today's podcast. Then I was talking to somebody, and we came up with what he came up with. It's Just Plywood. So that's today's podcast. So I'll explain what that is in a moment. Now, so as I went to upload today's podcast, which is titled It's Just Plywood, I got a note from our podcast platform, which is Blog Talk Radio. And we've been rocking with Blog Talk for, well, next month on December the 24th, it will be 11 years to the day, 11 consecutive years that we've been on Blog Talk. We've got over 2,600 podcasts of this particular program, which started out as It's My House. Now we rebranded it to Build Solar Homes. But over 2,600 podcasts, and we've covered a lot of topics. We've had guests on like Candy Leitner, the lady who started Mothers Against Drunk Driving. We've had Joe Brown on, Judge Joe Brown on, at least three times. I'm thinking four, but definitely three. We got all these people archived. We've had Patrick Collins on for about five or six times. He's the son of Marva Collins, legendary art educator out of Chicago. We've had topics, people talk about homeschooling. We've talked about reparations, building houses, tiny houses, solar energy, Pleasant Steffens out of Chicago. He was talking about solar energy. And then, of course, you know, our regular listeners throughout the years. All that's been on here on Blog Talk Radio. That have been rocking with us with good time, you know, because sometimes Blog Talk has had tech problems, but, you know, that's okay. Overall, I give Blog Talk an A. I give them an A. So, and, but anyway, on January the 31st of next year, 2025, Blog Talk, that will be Blog Talk's last day, on air. And that's been our home, and some people have been on air longer than I have. So so we're in the process of finding a new home. We're going to have to set up our own website where we can control our content. So no matter what platform might go down, if we control, which means we're going to have to get some equipment where we can store stuff with, that's, you know, with terabytes and all that. So And then I got to get trained up on all that. So we got about 2.5 months. December, January, and then let's say half of this month is almost here. So we got 2.5 months to, so we'll update you on, because we're going to have to get a new phone number and all this kind of stuff, but it's all good. So we got things. As soon as I made calls to some of my other podcaster friends over the years, so some people got stuff set up already. So we're just going to plug into what they've got set up and then add on our website. And then, we're going to have to see how we're going to do that on our Facebook page. Yeah, well, we won't set up stuff because anything we load up on our Facebook page, we got Blog Talk. When Blog Talk's down, so we're going to have to. Anyway, we'll figure it all out because we got people that already done it, figured it out. So we just have to plug in their system, into our system. So that's the latest on that. Now, today's podcast, which we'll keep it short and sweet, it's just plywood. So I was talking to somebody this morning. They want to learn how to build houses, particularly tiny houses. And I said, anybody can learn, no experience related. And matter of fact, I'm organizing an ebook on this. I already got some ebooks in the hopper, but this one might be the first one released by no later than this coming Monday. And the title of it is, the working title of it is, it's matter of fact, let me go to my notes here. Wait a minute. Let me know, not those notes. Let me hear, okay. The working title, and it'll probably be the title. It's the title of the book. It's Just Plywood: Simple Ways to Build a House. It's Just Plywood: Simple Ways to Build a House. The introduction that we have is building a house does not have to be complicated. This book shows you how to construct a simple plywood house. Well, here's the thing, folks. 80% of the houses that are out there already, regardless of the neighborhood that is in, and I'm talking about a house that might be in a rough criminal element neighborhood, to a shack, to a barn, to a playhouse, to a doghouse, to a Beverly Hills mansion, to an expensive mansion in Key Biscayne, Florida, or the Florida Keys, or any expensive neighborhood, wherever you're living, all made primarily from plywood. It's just plywood. So when you go on a Home Depot, just remember that the next time you go into a Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, Ace Hardware, Lumber 84, or wherever you go, and you plan on building a house, having somebody build your house, or the house that you live in already, the apartment building that you live in already. Matter of fact, if you decide to get a train, get on Amtrak and travel to another town or another country, across the country, a boxcar, the shack in a country area, a rural area, the crime infested house or apartment complex in what they call the hood, in a bad neighborhood, to the Beverly Hills mansion. All those structures are plywood. The only difference is the marketing of those pieces of plywood. And the pieces of plywood drive up the price based on people's individualized perception. So the next time you're in a hardware store like Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, wherever it might be, go to the plywood section. Now, they got different dimensions of it and different sizes of it. But, and then, you know, look at the people that, some of the contractors, some of the individual DIYers, do-it-yourselfers, some of those people are taking that fundamental plywood. Some are going to take it and use it to fix up a house. That fix up house might be in the hood. It might be in a middle class neighborhood. Some of that might be going into a crime infested neighborhood, in a neighborhood where somebody got shot a few hours earlier. That's where that plywood's going. Another person picking up the exact same plywood is going to another zip code where the houses are more expensive. And instead of calling it, now get the optics on this. You got the same type of design, the same type of, the exact same type of building material, plywood, tape, joint compound, some wood screws, same exact same materials, but only difference is what they call it. So in certain parts of town, even after you fix it up, they might call it slumlording. On another part of town, the exact same house, exact same material, exact same design, it's somebody's backyard study, or a guest house, or a children's playhouse or dollhouse, or a she shed. Same materials, same design, but from the exact same place. Only difference is in the marketing of that plywood. It's just the doghouse. The doghouse, which is in the backyard of the Beverly Hills mansion, the common denominator between the doghouse and the Beverly Hills mansion and the boxcar, which is they're all made from plywood, except one's on steel wheels, one's in an expensive zip code, and one the dog is sleeping in. It's just marketing. But it's all just plywood. So we'll be releasing that on Monday. And it's the title, once again, is Just Plywood, Simple Ways to Build a House. In our case, we'll be talking about tiny houses, but and the introduction says building a house doesn't have to be complicated. This book shows you how to construct a simple plywood. Man, it's all plywood. Okay. And the benefits of plywood houses, essential tools that you'll need, building your plywood house. And this was just, this was inspired by two little conversations, because 3 hours ago I wasn't even thinking, you know, 2 hours ago I wasn't even thinking about this at all. So, and it'll have a workbook. Oh, and this ebook will probably be no more than 5 pages at best. At best, it'll be a mini ebook. It'll have a workbook if you want to order the workbook. The workbook won't be there long because it's all activities or action oriented, and we'll have a workshop, a hands-on workshop, taking what you see in the book, and you know, like, oh, let me tell you this right now. Oh, where is it? Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. Oops, I hope I didn't lose anybody. Oh, here it is. Oh, wait a minute. First thing, I got to make sure I didn't lose anybody from the audio. Okay, wait a minute here. Oh no, I'm still here. So let me go back to where, okay. Let me show you how this works. Man, what? Okay. Okay, here we go. Like on step two. Okay. Oh, hold on. We don't want you with step two. Where is it here? Oh, okay. Essential tools. That's one section of the ebook, and it's essential. It's simple. You got five of them: a circular saw, a drill, a hammer, a tape measure, and safety gear. You know, the goggles, stuff like that. You know, so if you don't have a circular saw, you need to get one. You don't necessarily need to buy one. If you want to buy one, fine. You can also rent one. And the workbook covers that type of stuff. But, you know, so we just get to the point. And that's why the ebook will be no more than five pages. You know, if you want to get the workbook, that's for your own individual notes based on that. But anyway, it's just plywood. So we got how many chapters in this? We already have. We got six chapters outlined. Six chapters outlined. So in any event, and they're short chapters because it's all designed towards action. So we'll have Zoom calls, workshops, hands-on workshops, retreats, and all that off of It's Just Plywood. So remember that wherever you're living right now, if you're frustrated with the high amount of rent, learn how to build your own, because it's just plywood. And some of you will be shocked because when you take how much it costs to build a room at certain dimensions and how much that room costs in this part of town versus that part of town or where certain people live. You know, some people, they don't want to live near certain people. You know, the people that live in the mansions in Beverly Hills, they don't want to live in the neighborhood with the help. Now, the help live in plywood homes too, because it's all just plywood. All of this is marketing. How the word how. Stack, barn, mini mansion, studio, all those, bungalow, all those words are marketing terms for plywood. Every last one of those words, now they won't tell you that in Webster's Dictionary, but I'm telling you that. Dispute me, challenge me on it. It's all marketing. Mobile homes, trailers. You see how those are made? Plywood. Now, the facade that goes over top of them, you know, allows them to call it something else, makes it easier to market it as something else. But the same plywood that goes into a trailer that Cletus might live in a mobile home community or a trailer park, is the same plywood that is in the high-end Homely Hills neighborhood, and Homer Hills, for those of you who are not familiar with it, Homer Hills is a more expensive neighborhood than Bel Air, California, or Beverly Hills, California. It's upscale. It's up there. Same plywood. It's just marketing. So, I'm excited about it. So, release date this coming Monday. What's today? Wednesday. So, like I said, we got it outlined, and I need a new. I'm at to bang things out here on my phone, and I got a tablet, but the tablet doesn't is it. My I got to get a new what do you call it laptop, because my laptop overheated the cord or something, but it just went. I had it for 10 years at least anyway, so it was time to get a new one. So I got battery time on it, but I'm going to have to bang it out on this phone. I need about four phones, but I only got one right now. So I'll be writing this book on this phone today, and it'll be ready for Monday when we put it out there. So any event, that's what I got for you today, including our news that will be as of February 1st. But you'll have enough. We'll be up and running on our new home before the end of this year. So we got a month and a half for that. So let's see. Now, okay, we're going back to Blog Talk on my phone. Because typically I do this podcast with a phone and my laptop. But since my laptop is, I got limited time on that, and I got to email my stuff that I've written on that to my email account. All right, then I'm seeing what I, okay. All right. So we had planned on going video anyway for the new year, because that's where the ball's at anyway. People want to see you and what you're talking about. We were going that way anyway. And, okay. I'm trying to navigate on my phone. Oh no, that's not what I wanted. Okay, I'm trying to find my outro. Well, let me try it the old-fashioned way. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's go with... Yeah, so I got to go through a lot of 2,600 podcasts. And we've got classics on there. We've got, like I said, at least three or four shows of Judge Joe Brown. Of course, any call-ins that you guys have called in on over the years, I consider all those classics. And I'm rifling through... part of my library right now. And we've covered homeschooling, so many topics. Hold it, we'll see. I'm looking for something in particular. Everything from social justice issues, George Floyd, oh God, a whole bunch of stuff. All right, wait a minute. Actually, what I'm looking for, something LM. Let's see. I'm going to play this as an interlude while I'm looking for what I'm looking for.
Point of order and shit.
Chad, recognize this theme, rep the Veronica Avenue boys.
All right, look. We done talked this shit to death, all right? When we going to vote?
Rick, do have a point.
All right, then. All those in favor of going together so we can get the best discount on New York package. Raise up.
Oh, is that the end of that one? Oh, no.
All right, then.
That is.
Looks like we're going to make more money together.
Got to say I'm proud of y'all for putting aside petty grievances and putting this thing together. For a cold-ass crew of gangsters, y'all carried it like Republicans and shit.
Hey, y'all remember, man, talk this shit up when you hit them bricks. Best way to get more involved is to tell people about the benefits of this here thing. No beefing, no drama, just business. Anybody got problems with anybody else here, we bring it to the group. We ain't got to take it to the streets. All right. Let's do it.
And that was from the TV show The Wire. Here's another one.
Listen. I want to talk to you poor people. Your middle class people. And the ones who thought they made it. Listen to this. I want to talk to short and the tall. This ain't no racial matter. This thing concerns us all. Do you know one thing?
Price is going up and out of sight.
Listen. Charging $3 a half a pound for pork chops. Man, that ain't right. And put this in your hat and smoke it. On TV, and you listen to this, if you notice they're charging too much for a
black eye and butter
beans, I can't even afford to put that back in my car. I went to the store the other day and had my basket stacked. Things cost so damn much, I had to throw it all back. How they look for a poor man to get ahead? Say they gonna charge a dollar and a half for a day old loaf of bread.
You tell me that ain't crisis.
We got to do something about these prices.
Yes, we do.
You tell me that ain't inflation. Lord, these prices about to drive me
crazy.
Listen, I think I'll write my congressman and my senator too. I'm going to even call the press. See what can he do. If you go to the store today with $40, the people call you a drag. You can bring that little old food back and two little old paper bags. Do you know that? Look here. Have you dug the price of sugar, flour, and meal? Things like that'll make a poor man steal. And they tell you, don't worry about it. We're going to look out for you. You got a chance. We'll make it up to you with food stamps. Get on up there. God, listen. Today.
Talk about prices.
I'll run you two in the water.
Talk about prices.
The way things are going up.
Talk about prices.
You're going to have to start paying for a drink of water.
Talk about prices.
$75 for a pair of shoes and $50 for a hat. That don't make no damn sense for things to be costing.
like that. Things is getting so tough, my dog, cause he's scared to bear his bone. When he come back to look for it, some poor joker done dug it up and carried it home. My cat can't find a rat in the alley, all of them packed up and left. He's sitting down eating onions and about to cry himself to death. Talking about prices and prices, y'all.
Prices and prices.
I'm talking about prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
They got to bring them down so we can survive.
Prices and prices.
Do you remember the fuel prices?
Prices and prices.
I used to get in every line I saw so I could get
prices
my shit.
Prices and prices.
Daylight broke on me one day and I was headed
prices
for the cemetery. I said, hold it, y'all. I ain't
prices
going for that.
Prices.
You should have seen me making a U-turn with my
prices
Cadillac.